Church Bible, John chapter 21, verses 15 through 22, starts on page 881. Well, this morning, I just wanted to do a kind of a follow-up message from Easter. We're going to take a look at what it means to love Jesus. And next week, we'll get back into our study through the book of Genesis. So on Good Friday, if you were here, we took a long, hard look at the pain and suffering that Jesus endured on the cross. Then on Easter, we experienced the joy and excitement of his resurrection. Now, it may seem like Jesus' death and resurrection were the end of his ministry here on earth. But Jesus didn't stop interacting with his disciples immediately after the resurrection. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that Jesus ministered on earth for 40 days after the resurrection. So let's just take a look back at some of the things that happened before we get to our passage this morning. So remember when Jesus was arrested, the day that he was crucified? Peter denied three times that he even knew him. And then we saw that Peter was completely devastated when he realized what he'd done. And by the time we get to John chapter 21, Peter had already seen the risen Christ two times. And I'm sure that must have stirred up some strong feelings of guilt and shame in Peter. He might have thought there was no way Jesus could ever use him again after he turned his back on him. And in the beginning of John chapter 21, it looked as though Peter was going to go back to being a fisherman again. Verses 2 through 6 tell how Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and two other disciples, they went fishing. And you remember the story? They fished all night and they never caught a single fish. But then a man on the shore told them to throw their net on the right side of the boat, and they would catch some fish. And when they did this, their net was overflowing with fish. In fact, it was so full they couldn't even haul it all the way in. And it was at that point that they realized the man on the shore was Jesus. And Peter, he couldn't wait for the boat to get to shore. He was so happy that he jumped overboard and swam in to be with his Lord. And when they all got to shore, they saw that Jesus had breakfast cooking, and he invited them to sit down and eat. So they all sat down and ate together. And that brings us into our passage this morning. So let's read through John chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the example you sent in Jesus. Father, we thank you for this message this morning that's going to remind us about what it means to follow him. Father, we thank you for having a plan and including us in your plan. We thank you for loving us the way you do and not wanting us to perish. Father, we pray that we have open hearts and open minds this morning, that we hear what your word is saying to us and how it applies to each one of our lives individually. Father, we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Now, some think that the reason Jesus asked Peter if he loved him three times was because Peter denied Jesus three times. And this may be part of the reason. But I think there's more to it than that. I think that one of the reasons for Jesus asking Peter three times is that Jesus wanted Peter to know in his own heart that he loved him. And I think that Jesus wanted Peter to understand what loving him really meant. You see, the word that Jesus used for love the first two times is the word for agape love, which is complete, sacrificial love. But the word that Peter used for love is the word for phileo love, which is brotherly love. It's the kind of love you'd have for a close friend. Now, Peter used this probably not because he was reluctant to express the greater love, but maybe because he'd been disobedient and that he denied the Lord in the past. And because of that, he might have been reluctant to make a claim of total devotion when his life hadn't supported that claim in the past. Peter didn't want to set himself up to fail again. But Jesus was restoring Peter. He was helping Peter understand that the kind of love he needed to have for him, and actually did have for him, was a complete and sacrificial love. And Jesus was pointing out to Peter that because he had this kind of love, it would be expressed in the way that he lived his life. The question we all need to ask ourselves is, do I love Jesus? Do I really love Jesus? Not do I like Jesus, or do I love him like a brother or a friend, but truly love Jesus with a complete and sacrificial love. And if we do love Jesus, the expectations he had for Peter are the same expectations he has for us. Our love for Jesus should be expressed in the way we live our lives. If you love Jesus, you will, our first point is follow him. If you love Jesus, you will follow him. The last thing Jesus said to Peter in verse 19 was, follow me. What did he mean by that? Follow me. What he meant was for Peter to become more like him, to become more like Jesus by following his example. Peter should live the way he saw Jesus living. He should do the things Jesus had told him to do. To be a follower of Jesus, Peter was to live the life of Christ in his own life. And if we love Jesus, we're called to follow him in the same way. We are to live the way Jesus did while he was here on this earth. We are to do the things Jesus told us to do. In other words, we are to obey his commandments, his commands. We are to live the life of Christ in our own lives. So how do we do that? I mean, Peter spent 3 years with the Lord, watching him, listening to his teachings. And we don't have that opportunity. We have everything we need right here in this book. We have Jesus' example. We have his commands. And we have the opportunity to go back and read them anytime we need to be reminded. See, the more we read and study the Bible, the more we're going to understand who Jesus is, and the easier it will be for us to follow it. The easier it will be for us to live out his commands. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus is our example. Our focus should be on him. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus set an example for us to follow. And he died on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven. And because our sins are forgiven, that clears our consciences. So we're no longer focused on ourselves or our problems or our shortcomings. We have clear consciences so that we can become more and more like Jesus by focusing on him. If you love Jesus, you will follow him. And number two, you will focus on God's will for you. Verses 18 through 22. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Now, some say they think Peter was feeling some pressure from Jesus, and that's why he asked about John. He was thinking, "Well, I have to do all this stuff. What does he have to do?" I don't think that's what he was doing. I think it's pretty clear that Jesus' prophecy of how Peter would be martyred prompted him to ask what would happen to John. And he may have asked this out of concern for John's future, because they'd become such close friends over the last 3 years. They'd done everything together. But either way, Jesus' response is the same. You must follow me. Jesus is saying that John must not be Peter's primary concern. His primary concern must be his continued devotion to service in service to the Lord. And Paul was referring to this when he wrote to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. He said, "Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load." So if we're not careful, we can get caught up in being overly concerned about what Jesus is doing in someone else's life. Jesus said, "What is that to you? Why are you worried about somebody else?" See, Jesus works differently in each one of our lives. We may be going through a really difficult trial while our brothers and sisters seem to have no problems at all. Or it could be the other way around. Everything could be smooth for us while we see our brother or sister going through a very difficult trial. Now, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't pray for each other and we shouldn't help out each other wherever we can. What he's saying is, don't be so concerned about others that you lose sight of God's will for your life. In other words, stay connected to the Lord no matter what you see going on around you. Don't lose sight of the way you should be living your life. And the way we stay focused on God's will is by continually reading and studying his word. That's what Paul was referring to in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when he said, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So Paul's talking about, in this passage, he's talking about not conforming to the world around us. But that same principle applies to not being so distracted by what's going on in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not being so distracted by that that we lose sight of God's will for us. And when Paul said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind," he was referring to studying God's word. Studying it to the point that it changes the way you think. That God's will becomes your will. No matter what you see going on around you. And our third point is, if you love Jesus, you will prepare for sacrifice. So let's look back in verses 18 and 19 where Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus is telling Peter there's a day coming when he won't be in control of his life. There's a day coming when Peter would be taking places that he didn't want to go. But there was a day coming that his life would be taken for following Jesus. That Peter's love for Jesus would require sacrifice. Some people who don't know Christ, they think that Christianity is just a bunch of people trying to avoid the realities of life. I used to think that. I thought that Christians were just people trying to find an easy way out. Then I became one. And it didn't take me long to realize that Christianity is actually the hard way. It's not the easy way. Living for Jesus means that we will have to make sacrifices. It means that we will have to give up our own goals and desires and start living for Jesus' goals and desires. And that's what Jesus was explaining to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, when he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Living for Jesus isn't going to be easy. He never said it would be. But when you're truly living in God's will and you stop living for your own worldly desires, you find that your life will be more fulfilling than you ever imagined it could be. But there's also another kind of sacrifice that true Christians will have to endure. See, if we're living in God's will, then we're living the opposite of the way the world lives, the way the world tells us we should live. And because of that, the world doesn't like us that much. And we will be persecuted. And that's what Jesus was explaining to Peter in these verses. Now, we're probably not going to be crucified upside down like Peter was. But we are going to face some persecution. And we're going to face it even more so as this world around us rapidly decays. Now, it may be something as simple as somebody criticizing our faith. Or for some, it may come down to living for Jesus or keeping your job. We need to be prepared for sacrifice. We need to be prepared to stand firm in the faith whenever we're suffering for it. And the way we do that is by loving Jesus enough to stay close to him. And we do that through daily Bible study and prayer. Because the more we love Jesus and the closer we are to him, the easier it's going to be for us to endure any persecution that we may come our way. And finally, if you love Jesus, you will, number four, serve others. So let's go back to verses 16 and 17. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So Jesus asked Peter if he loved him three times. And three times Peter told him, "You know that I love you." And three times Jesus had a reply. He said, "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." Jesus is saying, "Peter, if you love me, you will serve others. How much you love me will be seen in how much you love others that belong to me." And that's what Jesus is saying to us as well. Your love for him will be seen in your love for others. Our love for Jesus isn't demonstrated by our words. Anyone can say that they love Jesus. Our love for Jesus is demonstrated by the way we live our lives, by the way we treat each other, and the way we serve each other. Now, there are a lot of professing Christians out there that claim to love Jesus, but when you look at the way they're living their lives, you don't see any indication that they even know Jesus. That's who Jesus was referring to in Matthew chapter 7, 21, when he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Not everyone that claims to be a Christian is going to heaven. The evidence is in the way they live their lives. Christopher Huerts is the international director of Word Made Flesh, an organization that helps the world's poor. In his book, Simple Christianity, Huerts writes that one night in particular stands out in all his world travels. While walking the streets of Calcutta, a destitute region in South Asia, Huerts and his companions, Josh, Sarah, and Philina, Huerts' wife, stumbled across a person lying under a filthy, fly-infested blanket. A 3-foot trail of diarrhea was making its way toward the gutter. It was obvious to anyone passing by that the person under the sheet was either dead or dying. Huerts writes, "My pal Josh tapped the body on the shoulder to see if the person was dead. The body moved. Josh pulled the blanket down from the face that it covered to see a helpless young man, maybe 22 years of age, and visibly stunned by our approach. As soon as he realized we were there to help him, he began weeping uncontrollably. A crowd gathered. He continued to cry. We didn't have much to work with, but our friend Sarah grabbed a bottle of water and some newspaper. She began cleaning the young man, wiping the diarrhea off with the newspaper and rinsing him with the water. We asked him his name. Tutela Das. He was lost, afraid, alone. His body was a leathery skin skeleton, and his bulging eyes accentuated the shape of his skull. He kept crying. We tried to get a taxi, but none would stop. The crowd grew. No one wanted to help. Two more friends happened to be walking down the street just then, and they were able to find a taxi. They took Tutela Das with them and headed off to Mother Teresa's house for the dying. Philina, Sarah, Josh, and I stood there in disbelief. I lifted my head and caught sight of the church and its sign less than 5 feet from where we found the dying Tutela. And the sign read, "All are welcome here." It may have been what inspired someone to drop Tutela in front of the church, but was he welcome? People from the church watched us as we helped Tutela. Yet the gate remained closed. Our love for Jesus is demonstrated by our actions. Do you love Jesus? If someone were to spend a week with you, would they know that you love Jesus? Or would they see your lack of love for Jesus? Do you love Jesus enough to follow him? Enough to stay focused on his will for you? Enough to prepare for sacrifice? Do you love Jesus enough to serve others? Does your love for Jesus flow out of you as you interact with others? You know, if you're struggling with living your life for Jesus, it's because you don't love him enough yet. You haven't totally surrendered your life to him yet. And I encourage you to take some time to get to know Jesus. Spend some time reading your Bible. And once you truly understand who Jesus is, you'll understand that loving him and living your life for him really isn't hard at all. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder that you work through us. Your love flows through us to others around us. Thank you for letting us do that. Thank you for letting us serve you in this way. Thank you for having a plan that you included us in. Father, we just pray that as we move forward, that if we're not close enough to you, we get there, that we take the time to focus on you, to get a clear understanding of your will so that we can live fulfilling lives, that you can use us as instruments to reach this lost world and share your love with everyone around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.